an obedient heart. I will put my spirit in you and will see to it that you follow my laws and keep all the commands I have given you. Then you will be my people and I will be your God. I will save you from everything that defiles you. I will command the grain to be plentiful so that you will not have any more famines. I will increase the yield of your fruit trees and your fields so that there will be no more famines to disgrace you. One more time, verse 26. I will give you a new heart and a new mind. I will take away your stubborn heart of stone and give you an obedient heart. I will put my spirit in you and will see to it that you follow my laws and keep all the commands I have given you. What an absolutely beautiful scripture for all of us to claim as our own this morning. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge your awesome, powerful, holy presence here with us today. May we allow your awesome, powerful, holy presence make the necessary changes in us to be better people for you. Amen. As you all now know, after such a lovely baby blessing, my fourth grandson was born exactly 4 weeks ago, Harvey Robert Proctor. Harvey comes from the French name Hervey, which means battle worthy. And one can't help but see the spiritual connotations of that name. Battle worthy. It's a good name, isn't it? Yeah, he's going to be a Christian soldier, worthy of the battle because of Jesus. Hallelujah. Anyway, 4 weeks ago, before visiting our new grandson in hospital, Luke and I paid a little visit to the baby bunting shop that was just over the road from the hospital. Great place to have a baby bunting shop. As soon as we walked through the front sliding doors, Poppy Luke went on a crazy shopping spree. Before I realised what was happening, Luke had already placed a bag full of newborn baby stuff on the checkout counter. One of the items he chose very quickly became my favourite because this item, this new toy, reminded me of this scripture from Ezekiel, which had already been bouncing around in my mind for a couple of weeks. Ezekiel 36, I will give you a new heart and a new mind. I will take away your stubborn heart of stone and give you an obedient heart. When Robert, Harvey's dad, later placed a battery in this little toy lamb, it did something quite beautiful for Harvey. Would someone please switch off the main lights? I hope this works. I've been building up to this all week. I've been reminding Dinah every day, bring the lamb, bring the lamb. Okay, watch this. This little fluffy lamb, I don't mind the sound effects, that's fine, thanks Ryan. This little fluffy lamb suddenly becomes transformed into the beating heart of a mother. Could you... Can you hear it? I think that's really cute. And have a look. It looks like a heart. I'll do it, just do it one more time. That's what it sounds when you have an ultrasound. That's what it sounds like, isn't it? It's only a much faster heartbeat. Okay. This little fluffy lamb suddenly becomes transformed into the beating heart of a mother in a quiet room. That sounds really, really noisy. Since Harvey was first conceived, not born, but conceived, the first thing he would have heard was a soothing, repetitious beat of Dinah's heart. Not to forget to mention the horrific blast of a trumpet every now and then. But Diana's heartbeat was a soothing constant in Harvey's early life, wasn't it? Now, Harvey removed himself from Diana's heartbeat at birth. That's what happens. The babies have got to come out eventually. But now, this little fluffy lamb has become a substitute for Diana's heart. In the same way, and this is where I'm a pastor, in the same way, Jesus Christ, the spotless Lamb of God, became our substitute so that we could have a new heart, a soft heart, a heart of flesh, an obedient heart towards God. God promised his chosen people way before the time Jesus actually was born that he will, metaphorically speaking, sprinkle clean water on you and make you clean from all your idols and everything else that has defiled you. And there's been lots of things that have defiled us. He will give us a new heart and a new mind. He will take away your stubborn heart of stone and give you an obedient heart. He will put his spirit in you and will see to it that you follow his laws and keep all the commands he has given you. Then you will be his people and he will be your God. Hallelujah. This scripture is a wonderful description of salvation. Is it not? Hundreds and hundreds of years before it actually came. It's prophetic. This is what Jesus has done for us. He's given us a heart. He's given us a home. He's made us prosperous in our relationship with him. Yeah. Hallelujah. Who here has often wondered that they had a billionaire as a best friend? Come on. Who's here hope that maybe there was some distant relative that they didn't know about that was a billionaire and he sort of kind of found out about you and started to like you? Yeah, we've all thought something like that. Well, guess what? We own the richest father in the whole universe. He's ours. And we have a very close relationship with him, but we must believe it to receive it. Now, some of you listening to this sermon might say, this all sounds too good to be true. God couldn't possibly change my heart, not after what I've seen, what I've heard, what I've done. I was reading an article a couple of weeks ago in which a once notoriously evil man quoted from this Ezekiel 36. David Berkowitz said that God had given him a new heart. He'd taken away his heart of stone and given him a soft heart, a heart of flesh. David Richard Berkowitz, keep that photo on, thanks Joel, born 1953, known also as the son of Sam and the .44 caliber killer, is an American serial killer who was convicted of 8 separate shooting attacks that began in New York City during the summer of 1976. The crimes were perpetrated with a .44 caliber bulldog revolver. He killed 6 victims and wounded 7 others by July 1977. So it was just over a year. As the number of victims increased, Berkowitz eluded the biggest police manhunt in the history of New York City, while leaving letters that mocked the police and promised further crimes, which were highly publicized by the press. The killings terrorized New Yorkers and achieved worldwide notoriety. And because he was targeting primarily young women with dark hair, sales of blonde wigs reportedly skyrocketed, and hairdressing salons were kept extremely busy dyeing brunettes to blondes. Berkowitz was finally caught and taken into custody. Could I have that other photo? Thanks, Joel. By New York City police homicide detectives on the evening of August the 10th, 1977. And he was charged for 8 shooting incidents. He confessed to all of them, and claimed to have been obeying the orders of a demon manifested in the form of a dog who belonged to his neighbor, Sam. That's why he was called Son of Sam. Despite his explanation, Berkowitz was found mentally competent to stand trial. He pled guilty to murder and was incarcerated in state prison. Berkowitz has been imprisoned since his arrest and is serving 6 consecutive life sentences. David has now been incarcerated for almost 40 years. His first years in prison were filled with turmoil as he went from one prison mental health ward to another, still driven by demonic spirits. But something significant happened 10 years into his prison sentence. A fellow inmate began to share the love, hope, and forgiveness of Jesus Christ with David. At first, David mocked him because he didn't think that God would ever forgive him for the crimes that he'd committed. But little by little, as the inmate persisted and shared what Christ had done for him, David began to listen. David later said, "He kept reminding me that no matter what a person did, Christ stood ready to forgive that individual, if that individual would be willing to turn from the bad things he was doing and would put his full faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross, dying for our sins. He gave me a Gideon's Bible and asked me to read the Psalms. I did. Every night I would read from them. It was at this time the Lord was quietly melting my stone cold heart." Eventually, David Berkowitz accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior and has been walking as a Christian and serving God in prison for close to 30 years now. Son of Sam was transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ into Son of Hope. His prison journals offer irrefutable evidence for all who are willing to read and examine them that God has indeed done something miraculous in this man's life, and it is marvelous to behold. Berkowitz's attorney, Mark Heller, said, "On every occasion I visited David over the years, the staff at the correctional facility, including the chaplain, has gushed about what a wonderful model prisoner David has been and stated that they wish every prisoner was as compliant, helpful, and appropriate as David." Now, before I finish my sermon, I want you to hear a little testimony from David Berkowitz himself. This testimony is just a couple of years old now, but still relevant to him. It only plays for just over 4 minutes, so I want you to listen up and allow it to touch your heart. You saw the previous pictures of David. Now look at who he is today. Thanks, Joel. Let's hear the whole thing.
My name is David, and I've been in prison for going on 34 years now. Before I came to know the Lord, my flesh was just going crazy. Had no control over anything. It didn't even try to control me. You know, back then, I committed some very serious crimes. Six murders, injured a lot of people. I have, you know, grief over that and a lot of regret. And God is still continuing to heal my life from those things. And as time goes on, I continue to pray for the families of those I hurt. A lot of this was the suffering I brought on myself through my own sinful actions. And But God is good. But God is good. And he's brought me a long ways.
I think in all seriousness and soberness, when I shudder to think what my life would have been if I never came to Christ, I honestly believe that I would not be alive today. I probably would have taken my life, because in my times of depression and darkness, there was really no reason to get up in the morning, no reason to go through the day. It was a lot of pain, a lot of mental and emotional anguish and guilt and torment and all these things that I was carrying. And when I came to the Lord, you know, the Lord began to change all those things. Yeah, okay, that sounds easy. That sounds like just words. People could say, yeah, sure, right. I don't expect people to believe me, but that doesn't matter, because the Lord is still working through me. And so that's really what counts. So I'm the Lord's servant, and I know what Jesus Christ has done with my life, and I'm so thankful for that. I began to read the Bible. I developed a thirst for the Bible. I couldn't put it down. I was reading it every moment, every time I was back in my cell, back from my work assignment or whatever. I couldn't wait to pick up the Bible. That verse from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 comes to mind, that the Lord is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all I could ever ask or think. I'm not worthy of these things. I don't deserve this. You know, I don't deserve all these wonderful, wonderful blessings of just knowing that God is using my life for his glory and honor, but to think that at one time in my foolishness and in my, you know, wickedness, that I allowed Satan to use me for his purposes. You know, God has allowed me to experience in my own life freedom in many ways. The Lord set me free from a guilty conscience. He set me free from my self-destructive and self-sabotaging behaviors, which caused chaos for me all my life. He set me free from the power of depression, which I was afflicted, something I was afflicted with all my life. He set me free from the power of Satan, because Satan had a hold on me probably since I was a kid. And I have freedom to share my faith with other people. And I'm also free from that power of sin that had me bound for so long. No one has done so much bad, so much evil, that God will not forgive them. Even though I've been behind prison walls for more than 3 decades, I no longer see the prison bars. My eyes focus beyond that. I see Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. My freedom is found in one word, Jesus.
Pretty powerful testimony, isn't it? All the money that comes in from any books, any of his testimonies, anything that he does, goes towards victims of crime. And he first came up for parole in, I think it was 2002. He didn't even bother to turn up for that. He said that he has freedom in his heart, and he's feeling that he's doing what God wants him to do in serving him within the prison. And so I think his parole came up in 2016. He wasn't released. He doesn't care. He just stated the truth to the parole officers in 2016, or the parole board, saying that he is a changed man, and he just spoke of what God's done through him. So he's a changed man. By the way, a couple of years ago, another murderer got hold of him in prison, and they never found the weapon, but they think it was a razor blade, and he slit David's neck. And the murderer who did this can't believe that David didn't die. He was just so shocked because the cut was so deep and he bled so much. But he survived that, and so it hasn't been an easy road for him in prison either. But he's serving the Lord, and he's a heart that is repentant. And that's good, isn't it? That is so good. That's an amazing testimony. You can have what David's got. God reaches out to you today. Allow him to do something wonderful in you. Doesn't matter what circumstance you're in right now, God can do something wonderful in you. God says to you, I will sprinkle clean water on you and make you clean from all your sin and anything that has defiled you. I will give you a new heart and a new mind. I will take away your stubborn heart of stone and give you an obedient heart. I will put my spirit in you and will see to it that you follow my laws and keep all the commands I have given you. That means that when you become a Christian, God helps you to be obedient to him. He helps you be obedient to him by the power of the Holy Spirit in you. And then God says, then you will be my people and I will be your God. I will save you from everything that defiles you. I will command the grain to be plentiful so that you will not have any more famines. This means God will prosper you. I will increase the yield of your fruit trees and your fields so that there will be no more famines to disgrace you. Christians in this place, does God lie? God's word is truth. Now, it's highly unlikely that you or anyone else in this place has ever done anything as evil as David Berkowitz. But the truth is, none of us measure up when it comes to the holiness and purity of God. We all need the forgiveness of God to enter into a relationship with him. We do. That's how it goes. There's no relationship without his forgiveness. And Jesus has made this possible. Jesus died to make our hearts pure and obedient as the heart of God. Let him do his work in you today. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, he's speaking to you right now through me. In fact, he's been speaking to you all the way through this service, through the songs that are sung, through the smiles of the Christians around you. God is speaking to you. He's saying, come to me. I will forgive you if you are repentant of your sins. Turn yourself around and face me. Serve me. Turn your back on all that is evil, and I will make you clean. That's a promise of your Creator. How beautiful is that? What a wonderful Creator he is. What a wonderful God. So my question to you is, do you know him? Have you received his forgiveness like David has? Have you come into that deep relationship with Jesus? Let me encourage you today to do just that. Would everyone please close their eyes and bow their heads? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this amazing word from Ezekiel, this promise that you've given to all of us. And we also thank you for this amazing testimony that we have seen today. It shows that you can forgive anybody. There's nobody out of your reach. And Father, today, as you speak to people in this place, I pray that they will not be rude, but they will answer you. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit, the kindness of your Holy Spirit, will lead everybody in this place to you and your forgiveness. If God is speaking to you today, and you've never ever received Jesus into your heart as Lord and Savior, and today you acknowledge that in God's eyes, you don't measure up. In God's eyes, you are not pure. You are not holy. You are sinful. But you want to receive the forgiveness of God for your sins. I would really like you to put up your hand so that I can pray the salvation of God unto you. Is there anybody in this place that would like me to pray for you right now before we close this meeting to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior? Yep, I can see that hand. I can see that hand and that hand. Anybody else? Who would like a new heart today? That's what Jesus offers, a beautiful, soft, pliable heart. The heart of God is speaking to you. You need to respond. Is there anybody else today that I can pray for to receive that beautiful, obedient heart from God? Anybody else? Hallelujah. Precious Jesus. Precious Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, for these people that have lifted their heart, their hands today, showing that they want you to come into their hearts and receive you as Lord and Savior. They want to say sorry for the things that they've done wrong, for the sin in their life, for doing it their way and not your way. I pray that today they will indeed know that you are coming into their heart and making them clean and white as snow. Father, we thank you that not only do you forgive our sin, but you remove our sin. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far you remove the filth and the dirt from us. But Lord, as you remove it, may we not bring it back. May we be obedient to the call of your Holy Spirit. May we read your word and do it your way, which is the best way for us. Father, for these people who have put up their hands, I pray that they will have such a strong desire, a yearning to read your word and wash themselves daily in the word of God. And Lord, we thank you for speaking to us all today. This scripture from Ezekiel just reminds us once again how good you are and what you've done for us and what you continue to do for us. You continue to make it easier for us not to sin, but to be obedient to you. Help us all every day listen to your Holy Spirit over and over again, hearing your word, reading your word, doing your word, being your word, Father. Lord, I pray that you would just wash over this church once again and help us all to be Christians of integrity and transparency. Help us to be the real thing. Help us to be you, Jesus, because we have your beautiful heart in us. Amen. Just before we finish, I'd love us all to sing that beautiful song at Calvary. If the band would come up again, we're going to sing it one more time before we close. And just reach out to Jesus. Who enjoyed that testimony of David Berkowitz?